Gullis Peaks. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Wilfried Heink, H-E-I-N-K. He is the author of The Suppressed History of Crimes Committed on German Soldiers in World War II. It is a three-part article that people should read. It's very revealing. And today we're talking about Hess, Rudolf Hess.
Yes, we are. And I'd like to now get to the juicy part as the plot thickens. I'm just looking at my notes here. There's another book that I tried to, but I think it's going to, I don't think we have time enough. It's written by Valentin Falin. He's a Russian former Soviet diplomat and politician. And his book is about, it's called Zweite Front. I only have it in German, the Second Front. And it's about the promises the Allies made to erect a Second Front in to take the pressure off the Russians, because they were getting clobbered by the Germans. And all the excuses they came up with. It's a very interesting book, and all the games that were played. But he also mentions Hess, and pretty well confirms that he was lured to Britain. Okay, now in 2004, Martin Allen, I don't know if he's a historian or something, an Englishman, published a book, The Hitler-Hess Deception. I don't have the book, but I was sent a DVD. In Germany, a documentary was made based on that book, a documentary shown on TV at late hours in the evening where nobody normally watches anymore, but it doesn't matter. It was made, and I'm not about to go into this book because you have this German, this documentary where they translated from English to German, and now I'm going to know. This is a minefield. But on that DVD, there are, as a bonus, four interviews on the end of it. One is with the author, Martin Allen, in English, and we'll get into that. The second one is with Peter Patfield, an English historian, then one by a German historian, I believe, and the last one with Professor Spann. This last one I also will in detail get into, because he is a forensic expert at the University of Munich, and he did a follow-up autopsy on the body of Rudolf Hess, and his findings are really, really interesting. Now, first of all, to the interview with Martin Allen. Some of this was hard to understand, so this is not word for word. It's just the main parts of it. And he was asked how he came about writing that book, The Hitler-Hess Deception. And he says that his research began when I looked at the works of Albrecht Haushofer. Looking at the Haushofer documents in the British archives led to the Hess files, which are still closed. Haushofer, and here I'm interrupting, Haushofer is an issue on its own, because in this book he claims that he was murdered by the British to prevent him from testifying at Nuremberg.
Right. All righty. We do have a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam, and Super Male Plex. Colon Enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cow Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Wilfried Hank. And you were talking about just about to go into Nuremberg and Rudolf Hess, and that they murdered him so that he could not testify. But there was somebody using his name at Nuremberg, correct?
Haushofer, I was talking about.
Yeah,
Albrecht Haushofer.
Okay, but wasn't Karl, there somebody that
Karl
was...
Karl Haushofer. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Okay. You know, I'm just mentioning this because that was brought up in the documentary that the British sent to agents to interview Carl, the elder, and both him and his wife, after they had left, committed suicide. Now, what a coincidence. Anyway, back to Hess and back to Mr. Allen. And he continues, one has to remember that after the start of the Second World War, there was a whole series of peaceable approaches made by the German government to the British government. And here I have to interrupt again, because even before the start, before 1939, there was numerous offers made to disarm and so on and so forth by Hitler. Continues, and those negotiations began in late 1939 to early 1940 through the Duke of Windsor in Spain. And this line of peaceable approach was continued after the Duke was sent to the Bahamas. Only then it was taken up by Rudolf Hess and Hitler, and they tried to make an approach to the British ambassador in Spain, Sir Samuel, I don't know how to pronounce his name, H-O-A-R-E. How would you say it?
I'm not sure, but spelling's good enough.
Anyway, I'll spell it. So he's asked, do you know why Hess landed in Scotland? And Alan continues, the men waiting at Dungavel House in the night of May 10th, 1941 were the Duke of Kent, the Duke of Buccleuch, an intelligence officer, and someone from the Office of Political Warfare. The British documents revealed that they were waiting for the head of the Ausland, the foreign organizations, Ernst Bühler. These men waiting in the night of May the 10th, and everyone was quite shocked when Rudolf Hess radioed to identify himself. Now, when you look at the documents very carefully, you begin to realize that by the late spring of 1945, Rudolf Hess and I suspect Hitler too were beginning to smell a rat with the British negotiations. So they decided between themselves to send Rudolf Hess in Ernst Bühler's place to source out the British. Hess wanted to look deep into the eyes of the British to find out if they had been lied to by the negotiators. Now, this is interesting, and I'm interrupting here, because, you know, I never knew that actually somebody else had been considered. And there goes this Hess solo flight with nobody known nonsense, because this apparently this was planned, to send somebody was planned before. So he's asked, why did the British want to meet Bühler? The answer, the peace negotiations in 1940 were taken up by the political warfare department, who had a different agenda, who were using those negotiations to cause discord within the German government and to unbalance Hitler's war strategy. He, you know, traitors at work here again. And he continues, because in the early spring of 1941, Churchill was fighting to get the Germans to move against Russia instead of the Middle East. Whether this is true or not, be that as it may. Question. The Germans had devised a 7-point peace plan. Why was it not accepted? Alan answers, I think it is important to remember that the British government was frightened of the German government and Germany's expansion in Europe. The principal warfare executive took the view that these plans, these peace offerings, should be used to Germany's disadvantage. It was not in Britain's interest to make peace in 1941, because Churchill realized that if he could continue the war long enough and to widen the conflict, sooner or later, Russia and the U.S. would be dragged in, ensuring that the war would be won. Now, this has to be taken with a grain of salt. It is true that I don't think the English were ever frightened of the Germans as such. And there goes my voice.
Uh-oh.
There goes my voice.
Oh, but get a drink of water.
Okay, I will. Hang on.
Right. Okay, well, this is all very interesting, and of course we know too that that the United States would be dragged into the war because of Pearl Harbor, which Churchill and Roosevelt both knew about, and they actually provoked it. They provoked Japan in several ways, and the United States had been waging economic warfare against Japan for some years, and so I mean it was predictable. It was certainly going to happen, and they knew that.
Yeah, and this was all planned, that the U.S. eventually was going to come into it. I mean, this wasn't any surprise, or that it had to be done behind the scenes. Anyway, he then goes into some detail. I have this piece, but I never could find these 7 points, all of it written out. But what he says is, the most stunning offer of the lot from these 7 peace points was that Hitler offered to withdraw German troops from Norway, Holland, Denmark, Belgium, and France, and to pay reparations for the damage inflicted during the conquest. And it was these very terms that were so dangerous to the British government, because they realized that if the Americans discovered that they had been offered virtually everything they wanted for peace, including a form of sovereignty for Poland again, then the Americans might force the Britons to back out of the war and to concede points to Germany. The last part is nonsense because, like I say, this was all decided that the Americans were eventually going to come in anyway. But this peace plan, it's a very interesting, it says, number one, Germany to withdraw all her troops from Norway, as I have mentioned. Number two, Germany is to pay reparations. Number three, all offensive weapons are to be destroyed, the armed forces reduced to be sufficient for strategic reasons only. This was Germany wanted all of them to destroy all the weaponry. Number four, I have a problem with, it's about colonies, and I won't go in because my voice, I don't know how long. A Polish state will be reestablished in its ethnic borders, but Germany can only guarantee this for the part of Poland occupied by Germany. We have to remember that the Russians marched in from the east, and Germany only had half of Poland. Germany was accused of waging aggressive war. The Russians were not.
Right, and yet they both went into Poland.
Yes.
But Germany had more justification for going into Poland than Russia did. And when Russia went in, what they did was that they deported a lot of the Jews. Actually,
yep.
They relocated them to a safer area.
Yes, and we have to remember that while we're here, and we're all over the place anyway, so it doesn't matter, Hitler did everything in his power to avoid war with Poland. And this is well documented. It's not acknowledged, but it is well documented. The German troops marched in on early morning of September 1st, 1939. He waited to midnight of August 30th for a Polish emissary to appear so they could negotiate the 16 plans. The Germans had worked out the 16 points. The Germans had worked out to come to a peaceful agreement. This has been confirmed. The Poles wanted to come. The British prevented them from negotiating. Because it was not, you have to look at the map, it was not in Germany's interest to have a war with Poland. Poland served as a buffer state between Russia and Germany. And the Poles were not friendly to the Russians. Never were. They're still not. They still are not. And why would Hitler, knowing that eventually a conflict would break out with Soviet Russia, with the Soviet Union, why would he remove that buffer zone? Now, after the war, all of a sudden there was a border between Russia and Germany. And this border was used by Stalin to amass troops on his side. So this war was not, Hitler didn't want this war. It was also forced on him, and he had every justification to go in because the Poles wouldn't quit butchering the Germans.
Right. And they were also having flying operations into German territory. And,
oh, absolutely.
And they were actually more militarily prepared than Germany. And yet to hear the court historians talk about it, all they had was horses. But that is not true.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But the Germans were superior. They were better led. The Germans were better soldiers, better equipped, better organized.
Right. They were well disciplined. They were ethical. They were...
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and somebody said if it would have lasted any longer, the war, the Germans would have run out of ammunition. That's how well prepared they were.
Right.
Okay, now again, back to how did the British go about misleading Germany? Once the German government, he answers, put forth the peace offer to the Papal Nuncio to Madrid, this then was sent back to the British intelligence. And British intelligence decided that it would be a very clever ploy to put forward the fact that Churchill was vulnerable to being unseated by Lord Halifax. And so they set up a fictional peace faction in Britain headed by Lord Halifax.
All righty, we have a 3-minute break, time, and you can rest your voice, and we will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you have the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tatler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com. For emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Wilfried Hank. Am I saying it right?
Hank.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you are the author of The Suppressed History of Crimes Committed on German Soldiers in World War II, and that is going to be linked on today's schedule page so people can read that. And that's what you talked about the last time that we had you on the program.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're so full of good information. Just, you're such a researcher, and you're just very skilled at what you do.
Wait a minute, I got it. My head swelled up a little bit. My headset popped off. Wait a minute, I got to find it again.
And you're funny, too.
Thank you for that, Deanna, and I like to get my facts straight as much as possible, but as I said before, with the fragmented material at our disposal, I mean, we're picking up the crumbs that fell off the table unintentionally.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, some truth was bound to get out. I mean, you just can't hide everything.
Yeah, true enough. And it like we said, stuff is coming out, but it's being ignored. And as I just to continue from Martin Allen's that interview, he told the interviewer that this powerful peace party was invented, and the Germans were duped into believing that they were powerful enough to unseat Churchill. And it was Allen says it was on this basis that the German government felt quite assured that this peace proposal would work to Germany's advantage. they seem to have been, see, we have to, again, here, there is this German mindset, and there is the devious, this perfide Albignon. I don't think Germans, you know, when you look at it, they are able to sink that low. They didn't believe that it was possible that somebody would do this kind of thing to them. But anyway, they were wrong. They were naive. And Allen then continues, in the late summer of 1940, a man named Ludwig Weissauer brought a peace proposal from Hitler to the British ambassador in Stockholm. That was in the summer of 1940. The ambassador's name, Victor Mallet. When Lord Vansittart had heard that Lord Halifax was proposing that these negotiations should be treated for real, he became very concerned, because he was in a faction close to Churchill, who felt that the war should be continued by all means because Germany was a threat to the British Empire. The document is quite revealing. The interviewer asks him then if he could quote from that document. And he says, yes, the document that Robert Vansittart wrote to Halifax on the 6th of September 1940 is most revealing. I found this document on the internet, and it is pretty well what Alan said. Here it is. I hope that you will instruct Mr. Mallet, the ambassador to Stockholm, that he is on no account to meet Dr. Weissauer. The future of civilization is at stake. It is a question of we or they now. And either the German Reich or this country has to go under. And not only under, but right under. I believe it will be the German Reich. This is a very different thing from saying that Germany has to go under. But the German Reich, and the Reich idea had been the curse of the world for 75 years. And I have to interrupt here. Here we go again to ground zero, 1865 to 70, and Bismarck. And he continues, and if we do not stop it this time, we never shall, and they will stop us. The enemy is the German Reich, and not merely Nazism. And those who have not yet learned this lesson have learned nothing whatever and would let us in for a sixth war even if we survive the fifth. All possibility of compromise has now gone by, and it has got to be a fight to the finish and the real finish. I just trust that Mr. Mallet will get the most categorical instructions. We have had much more than enough of Dalorous, Gordler, Weissauer and company. And that's the end of the letter. Here, Vansittart, who was very influential in the British government, he was advisor to the foreign ministry and had his nose and his fingers into everything. He confirms what I said right in the beginning of the show, that this was a fight against the Germans. The German Reich, the German country, no matter who is in power, it was not about Nazism. This is nonsense. And Vansittart, in his book, The Black Record, confirms this. He says exactly the same in there. This isn't against the Germans. The Germans have to be taught a lesson. They have to be put under. They have to be destroyed. And that's it. So, and he says 75 years. That was in 1940 or 41 when he, 1940 when he wrote this letter. So you go back, and that was the era of Bismarck, when Bismarck worked hard to reunite Germany. And here's confirmation that this was always the aim of the British for 75 years to destroy the Germans.
Exactly. All righty. We're going to a 3-minute break. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Listen up. This isn't some Detroit car commercial. And this isn't how we do it. Not in any America I know. We don't take away the rights and call it public safety. We don't burden folks with something called Obamacare and call it affordable. We don't take what you earn and call it a fair share. That's not America. That's not how it's done. In my country, in my America, earning has always been better than receiving. If that's what you believe, this is America, and we're about to show you how it's supposed to be done. Step up and be heard by participating at AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Join us and stand up for the America you know at AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. That's how it's done. Now do it. You have a voice. Now use it.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand name coffee, either ground or instant. But now we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20 plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com. Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Wilfried Hein. And we do have some callers. Shall we take some calls? Save your voice?
Sure.
All righty. Let's take Richard in Washington. Richard, welcome to the program.
Good morning. This show is definitely a breath of fresh air, and I'm going to swell Wilfred's head again. It's great to hear a historian committed to seeking the truth no matter where it leads. The British did the same thing in 1812 when they tried to destroy all of the Founding Fathers' records. So the hidden hand just keeps repeating itself, doing the same things over and over again. And until we get wise and really study the ongoing history, we're not going to get wise to the program. The whole thing started with the First World War, which was supposed to be the war to end all wars, and they had to call that one off because of the quote-unquote Spanish influenza. Basically, they couldn't field any armies anymore, so they had to call a halt to the whole thing, so they couldn't continue it again until the Second World War. But what you have to understand, I hope Wilfred will research this, this is just a business model for the hidden hand to increase their wealth. And it first started, I hope Wilfred would read this book, Joseph Atwell, Caesar's Messiah. They started a whole thing on zero, had a time frame, and they've been in power for 2,000 years. And he's alluded to the fact, and Henry Cooper has followed this up, that Hitler and Eva were transported to Argentina with the other people.
Oh, baloney.
No, this is not baloney. He's fully documented.
No, that is baloney. That is absolutely, totally, totally baloney. I'm sorry, but you have your facts wrong.
He's documented theories. With witnesses and presentation.
Pardon me?
Documents. I mean,
You can
Deanna, you have to open your mind. There's other information, like Wilfred is pointing out, that they're suppressing. Mm-hmm. And until you open your mind to that, we won't get to the real truth. You know, I'll wait for another caller, but that's the
your
fact.
Your thoughts on that, Wilf?
I got into trouble with this because, to me, the evidence that he killed himself is not very strong. But I'm not saying he didn't. And I, you know, there is the evidence that he made it to Argentina or whatever is just as weak. I don't know what happened. And to me, this doesn't matter. It really, this has nothing to do with anything as far as I'm concerned. Hitler played his role. He did what he tried to do. He tried really hard to form a better Germany and also a better Europe, because the point number 7 of the peace proposal that he apparently has brought to England, it says, for Europe after the war, a form of economic union should be considered to address common problems. Decisions reached should be binding for all of Europe. He envisioned a European Union then not dominated by Germany, because he offered all the other countries, Belgium and so on, that they had conquered to be sovereign states again. But he wanted Europe to become a union, a country of, and he worked towards that. How Hitler ended,
here's my thoughts on it. He won 2 medals for being in World War I. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of things. He was a messenger. He did things. He put himself in danger.
Yes.
And was very courageous.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
He put himself in danger by just riding in an open car throughout the entire time that he was the leader of Germany. I do not see him as somebody that would abandon his people when he figured that things were over. That is just not one of the characteristics that I see in him.
You're probably right, Deanna. I'm not disputing it.
There are a couple of people who were there, mm-hmm. and to write about it.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I know.
With Hitler till the end. And certainly, if the so-called enemies, well, they're not so-called, they are enemies, they would want to show him as being a coward. And what better way of trying to promote the idea that he was a coward, or that he was funded by the Rothschilds, and all these other ways that they used mm-hmm. to discredit mm-hmm. him, what better way than to accuse him of being a coward and leaving all of his people to the beastly Soviets than to say something like that? Sorry, I don't buy it.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I mean, like I say, to me, this is never anything that I really looked into. We got into a small discussion, and oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, I mean, I really, so, yeah, I would like to leave that alone, because to me...
Yeah, let's leave that alone.
Yeah, to me, it doesn't really matter. I believe he tried really hard to make a better Germany, and he did for a long time.
Exactly. All righty, let's take another phone call. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to, because of his peace proposals, it's being Allen, this Martin Allen, says that this only started in 1939 after the war had started. This is not true. Because
he was trying to make peace the whole time.
All the time. In when he came to power at Versailles, the powers had agreed to disarm. Article 8 of this League of Nations, of this treaty, states that when Hitler came to power, negotiations were ongoing for disarmament conferences and so on and so forth. And on March 16th, 1933. With Hitler now in power, the English Premier Macdonald finally produced a plan for disarmament. Germany was to be allowed an army of 200,000. Up until now, they had 100,000. France the same, with an additional 200,000 from the colonies, which in fact doubled France's contingent because World War I had shown how fast they could arrive in Europe, these from the colonies. And Poland also 200,000, with Poland a French ally, Russia. And so the final ratio was 1 to 10. 10 enemies, if you will, facing one German soldier. Also, Poland was allowed 200 planes, Belgium 150, France 500, so Germany none. They were not about to, not allowed any planes under that McDonald plan. And to the big surprise of everybody, Germany accepted this plan, unfair as it was. In a speech of May 17, 1933, Hitler told the world that Germany is ready to sign. He also stated that Germany would send all of its soldier home if the soldiers home if the others did the same. The Allies did not expect that, of course. It took them 2 years. In October 1935, they met again. The German government let them know that they were still willing to sign this plan. But now the Allies came up with a stipulation. They said, well, before this comes into force, Germany has to undergo an 8-year prohibition period to prove itself. So it would have been 43 by the time Germany was allowed 200 soldiers. The others could arm in the meantime and do whatever they wanted. So this is when Hitler finally said, to heck with it, I have enough with you guys. And he walked out. Now he's blamed for not being interested in maintaining the peace. A plan like that.
Exactly. Well, you know, the Allies, just to make a comparison, the Allies, the U.S. forces in the Middle East, say that they found Saddam Hussein cowering, frightened in a spider hole.
That's
not true. They went to his home, and that's where they found him.
Yeah.
But, of course, any kind of denigration, anything to make somebody look like a coward. But when the truth comes out, some people just can't handle it. Okay, let's take Peter in Wisconsin.
Hi, Peter? Deanna and Wilfred. You must be clairvoyant because just yesterday I was researching the topics that you're discussing. If we could momentarily go back to the Dunkirk period, what's important is not so much Dunkirk itself and whether Hitler let the British soldiers escape. But immediately after Dunkirk, Goering's deputy general, Erhard Milch, M-I-L-C-H, had devised plans for an immediate invasion of Britain, which was to include air attacks and an amphibious landing. And the plan was to eventually encircle London and end the war early. And by several accounts, this was a plan that well could have worked, but Hitler hesitated. And in this documentary that is available on YouTube, it's called How Hitler Lost the War. At around the 27-minute mark, there's a telling of a conversation that one of Hitler's aides had with Hitler privately. And Hitler assured him that he, Hitler, did not want to attack Britain because the British were too much like the Germans. He respected the British, and he wanted to make peace with them. The only reason the Battle of Britain took place was because Hitler hesitated to attack Britain initially before the Battle of Britain and wanted to sue for peace, and that was denied him.
Yeah, that's true. This is absolutely true. Hitler wanted to come to terms with the English in spite of it all.
Right. And if you go back to Mein Kampf in 1918, you can see clearly that it's the Bolsheviks, the Marxists, who completely demoralized the German army through their strikes.
Absolutely.
They imploded the war effort just as the German soldiers were being buoyed up emotionally. They pulled the rug out from under them. Because their goal was always a partitioned and weakened Germany. That has always been the goal. And it came back with double force after Hitler had reclaimed the territories lost because of the traitors of November 1918.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a good book on that demoralization of the German troops by Richard Watt. It's called The Kings Depart. When this war, when the revolution broke out in 1917 in Russia and the Russian troops pulled back, German troops were freed to go to the Western Front. But as Watt writes, they were of no benefit. In fact, they brought this Bolshevik communist idea with them to undermine the troops in the West. They were actually they were helping to, instead of enforcing the numbers, they were diminishing. Right after they arrived, Soviets were formed. Now, can you imagine that in the German army? I mean, the whole thing broke down, and that was this infiltration by the communist virus.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you so much for your work. It's good to get another angle on our quote unquote historical truth.
And, thank you.
To discern that things are not always what they seem on the surface.
True enough.
Thank you for your
comments.
Thank you. All right, let's take Jeff in Vermont.
Okay.
Hello,
Jeff.
I think Richard from Washington was correct, in that Hitler did move to Argentina, and now he's living in Boston and is a crisis actor.
Oh,
it's a bombing. I've seen him in the pictures.
No, I've seen him in person.
Yeah. I'm sure you're right, Jeff.
But Elvis is alive too.
Yeah, they're probably together.
No, I've seen it. Dallas Goldbuck had him on.
Yeah. I am still waiting for Ed Sciarrini to send me the directions on how to take a picture of my ear, but I've never heard from him since. So.
Well, he's in the bunker with me. You want to talk?
Well, maybe you could talk to him about that and tell him I'm still waiting. Thanks, Jeff. Well, we need a little
Absolutely. If a guy takes this too serious, you ruin your life. I mean, you got to have a laugh here and there, for sure. I need to just finish this whole thing. And the last, on a DVD, an interview with Professor Spann, as I mentioned before, he's in the University of Munich in the forensic department. And in this interview, he was asked how it all came about. And he said that in an afternoon, he was sitting in the canteen of the university having a cup of tea. He gave us a little wry smile while he's saying, because I'm sure he didn't have tea, but that's beside the point. He received a phone call from the attorney, Dr. Seidel, who was Hess family attorney, who asked if he knew who he was. He said, of course, I know we had dealings in court. And he then said, can you help me? Yeah. And the attorney said, I have a body here. Can you accommodate it? And what? Who? And Seidel said, it's from the former Reich Minister Rudolf Hess. And then Seidel continued to tell him that he received a letter from the mayor of Fürth, which is a city in Bavaria, who asked him to get rid of the body, deposit it in the cemetery as soon as possible. And Spann said, geez, that took me by surprise, and I said, what's happening here? But if you need to get rid of it or whatever, bring it here and I'll see what I can do. And then Seidel, the lawyer, said, on behalf of the family, I instruct you to undertake an autopsy on the body of Rudolf Hess. When can you start? And I told him next morning, but I have to inform the authorities to do just that. And next morning at 9 o'clock, they proceeded, and Spann says, I have to state here that a prior autopsy had been performed. So he was asked if the body was intact, and Spann says, well, Yes, it was in, it wasn't complete, but one shouldn't draw any conclusions out of that, because nature places the organs in a person's body in a very orderly manner. When they're disturbed, they can never be put back in place again. So it looks messy, but it was all there. And he said that they looked at the body very carefully before they opened it up again, outside of the body, especially at the strangulation marks or the marks on the neck. And
All right, yeah. We do have to take a quick break. Okay. We will pick this up on the other side.
Okay.
Annoying collection calls.
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info, or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256, or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. HeartandBody.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Our guest today has been Wilfried Hienk, and he is the author of The Suppressed History of Crimes Committed on German Soldiers in World War II. There is a link on today's website and also in the RBN archives to that article. And people are wondering where they might obtain the DVD entitled, The Hitler Hess Deception.
I have no idea, because it was sent to me.
Ah, okay. I suppose
it's in German. It's in German. I'm sure it's available. And, you know, for German speakers, It's a well worth investment. It's a DVD Geheimakte Hess for based on an NTV documentation. And like I say, it's all in German. The whole thing. I've got the folder here.
Okay.
Lebensweisen Verlag GmbH. Well, if you write me, I'll write down what I have, and you can,
okay.
You can give it to whoever is interested.
All righty. So you were telling us about the autopsy. So
yeah, I just wanted to finish this. Anyway, after examining the body, Professor Spann says that the marks shown on the neck do not support hanging. Not in any way. Because he says when one hangs himself, the marks start in the front, then run underneath the ears upwards, and he demonstrates that on that DVD, to come to a high point in the back of the neck. The marks on Hess's neck were horizontal, not going upwards in any way, suggesting that he was strangled. The interviewer asked him if he could have strangled himself. Spann said, 99% of the cases, it's unsuccessful. And he's an authority on it, being a forensic expert. Because, he says, when you try and strangle yourself, you pass out. As you pass out, your hands relax. Then your grip relaxes on whatever rope or whatever you use, allowing the air to enter your lungs again. And he says it supposedly he did that, he strangled, or if he would have tried it with an electrical cable, it's almost an impossibility because it would have slipped. He said maybe a rope from a bathrobe or something like that, a belt, would have worked because the material is not as slippery. But not with, so what he's very careful in not suggesting that he was murdered, because he repeatedly said this is not my field of expertise. This is not what I'm here for. You have to get a criminal investigation. You have to get people that are trained in investigating crimes to look at that. All I can say is that what I see here, these marks, do not support the hanging theory. He later on January 24th, 1995, he submitted an affidavit in court supporting these findings, saying everything again. So he proves that Hess was murdered. Yet nothing changed.
I believe that too. Yeah.
But nothing changed.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Will, for being on the program today. It's been just a joy to have you.
I really enjoyed myself too, Diana. You're a number one lady.
Oh, bless your heart. All righty, we'll talk soon. Thank you so much.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow.